I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Always an interesting day. It's one of those days we take stock. And, of course, Democrats are offering up this narrative that is just not only completely false, but just an attack upon the legacy of Dr. King, that what you're seeing in Minnesota, Don Lemon and others, that's protest. It's got to make you uncomfortable. We'll play some of the sound of that. Maybe Don Lemon and the leader of this protest would be uncomfortable. And you know what, Henry? We have a little bit of space, and we have the number a little bit later on. See what Mark Halk is doing. It might be good to, you know, maybe in the 1 o'clock hour, just get his sense of this. Maybe people, new people listen, they haven't heard Mark Halk before. Armed people showing up at his house with seven kids there. Severely armed, 7-8 pointing long guns at the family, 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Now, we're going to see if Harmeet Dillon, we hear this all the time, huffing and puffing, are they going to follow through and charge every one of these clowns, particularly the head clowns, Lemon and the leader of this group, who went into a church service. This is under the FACE Act. Now, the FACE Act was set up so that you couldn't protest at abortion clinics. Mark Halk got into it with a guy there, minor thing. And for that, it was beyond a federal case. You may remember that. What about this? Well, they have a right to do it because these are not Christians. They may be harboring a pastor who has something to do with ICE in some way, shape, or form. The question I had, and I'm telling you factually, if this happened back in the day at King of Peace Catholic Church, do you think, or wherever you were, the men of the Holy Name, if it were a Catholic church, would have allowed Don Lemon and these other weasels to come in and take over the church, get in the face of people, and virtue signal? You know, as they were told, this is a house of God. They went out of their minds. That's what it's about. It's not even about ICE. They want to come in there and they want to overrun people who are worshiping God because they don't believe in it, because they're Marxists by and large. That's what it's about. And clearly to me, practicing without a license, they violated the FACE Act yesterday, this act that puts high stress on how suspect it is, how discriminatory it is, if your protest goes awry at an abortion clinic, but yes, at religious facilities. I was shocked when I heard that was in the FACE Act. I always thought it was just the abortion stuff, but no, it's in there. They clearly could be charged. They must be charged. And Don Lemon would be the starting point, but the clown with the beard who was running the operation, he would be next. By the way, making national news from Philly to Palestine, you know, it would have been inappropriate, Henry. I was tempted, but it's Martin Luther King Day. Tony Waddington, who is the head of the Philadelphia schools, was coming down the corridor as I was opening the door to come in. I think he was on KYW. You know, I was going to invite him in here, but, you know, I've done that before. And I want to ask him about the fact that today in Philadelphia, Philadelphia Teachers Union and others are involved in attacking Jews and attacking what they're doing in Palestine in honor of Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day. These people are hijackers beyond belief. How much hijacking can you do? So here's my proposal. Tell me if you'd like to see this, and maybe you have an example. Rather than just every Martin Luther King Day, we hear the same story of exaggerating where we are as a country that has moved forward racially. When you take a look at any time period you want to go back versus today. New York Post points it out, but they say there are still some inequities. You know where the New York Post editorial board sees inequities, and I do too, in the schools. And yet, guys like Matt Bradford, a big mouth white guy from the suburbs, they won't let poor kids and their families and others get out of those schools, which are hellholes and which are deficient in learning. Why? Well, the teachers' unions, but their own ideology. They just want to tell these people, you must go to those public schools as they go to private schools. New York Post points out another inequity. The number of people that are killed in cities like Philadelphia, New York, whatever, that are of color. Way out of proportion to numbers. Progressive policies, is that part of it? This is a brilliant editorial today, making exactly the point I'd make and what we're seeing in Minnesota, which is the country has moved forward by and large. Are there still racist? Are there still racial battles? Of course. Does that mean America is a racist country or that America has not been able to put past where we have been? No, America has. That ought to be the message on Martin Luther King Day. But this Palestinian event, this Palestinian teach-in, I think it's in several spots, but Fox was just underlining here in Philadelphia. How in the world does that go on? That's what I would ask Waddington and these others, because they allow it to go on, because this is all part of it. And anti-Semitism is in the air, but I'm not exactly feeling sorry today, and I don't think you should or would, for Josh Shapiro. Shapiro, for the new book, gave some excerpts to the New York Times. And now I'm telling you, Henry, I'll give him his due. If you had Josh Shapiro in the studio here with me for an hour, somebody's coming out of there just
battered and bruised.
Battered and bruised. Yes, exactly. But I have no mercy on this guy because he's not consistent. Yes, the Harris campaign is out of line asking, have you ever been a double agent for the Israeli government? What is this, Don Adams, movie? Have you ever spoken with undercover Mossad and Israeli agents? Now, some people, Commonwealth, I think the piece they put up today says, well, Josh Shapiro ought to grow up. This is what you get in a big time campaign. They have to ask these questions so they don't get sprung on them later. And they suggest that he has a glass jaw, that he doesn't get it. I think he has a glass jaw. I don't think he's ever run against anybody. But why is he doing this now? In other words, when a maniac got over the fence, set fire to his home, could have killed him and his family, he still denies what the motivation was. Israel, genocide, Gaza. Because he knows his party is anti-Semitic, and he's trying to skate that. Now, though, to go after Harris, he is bringing up what they're all about. Are those legit questions? Of course they're not. They're way over the top. So he may see Harris as the first one he wants to knock out here. Or he may think what I think is going on. He may think he gained stature if he is seen as duking it out with Kamala Harris, particularly on an issue like this, where he certainly has the high ground. But this is a turn of course for Josh Shapiro here, to be bringing up his religion, his faith. And I wish he would just logically go to the end of the sentence and say, these people are anti-Semitic. It's ludicrous. What happens here? I understand why Harris wouldn't pick him. But I would, if I were advising, I would say, look at the Kennedy book. They hated Lyndon Johnson. They knew Lyndon Johnson would win Texas by hook or by crook, mostly by crook. Okay. You put him in there. He's only the vice president. And then he can't do anything. I would have taken Josh Shapiro. And I think Josh Shapiro, I'm telling you honestly, because if you want to win, you got to be honest. I think Josh Shapiro would have carried Pennsylvania for her. as bad as she is. That's what would have happened. And yet they still wouldn't pick him. And mainly because they're anti-Semitic across the board. They're afraid of this. So I have no love lost here that he's revealing this or sympathy, because he's a weasel. He's not consistent on this. And yes, he is being mistreated because of his religion. There's no doubt. I'm in agreement with him. Wow. Must be Martin Luther King Day. All righty. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All right. After all those weighty issues, let me see if I can stoke a fire with people here. That's something not as weighty. We talked the other day, before I give you the side question, a lot of sports stuff in the air we'll get to today. But the Phillies are in a death match with the Dodgers and Mets in the spending, which I'm all about. I'm a capitalist. I'm not going back on this. But it did give me pause that for one player this past week, I heard on a couple of sports stations today, when you figure in the luxury tax and everything else, let's just say it's true for the sake, I don't want to get in the weeds. The new guy the Dodgers got, essentially, they'll be paying $123 million a year. A year. Yeah. And if you Google, I mean, look, you can argue this all kinds of ways, but the way I heard it put out there, and their real budget of the Dodgers is about $2.1 billion. All right. I'm still a capitalist. This is the test, though. Oh, come on, Dom. That's not fair. They're paying this guy $123 million when you figure in all the luxury tax.
Yeah,
et cetera,
the way they structure it.
Which is the socialist system they throw in there. Even socialism can't stop capitalism. The Mets can spend. Why not the Phillies? They have a billionaire owner.
Yeah.
Well, they do.
No, I know they do. It's the why is, yeah, the big question here.
Well, you know, it's a free country. It's a free market.
He's done it before, yeah. But that was years ago.
Right, but what I'm saying is, no one's stopping anybody. But now Pittsburgh, they can't compete. So
yes, they can. That drives me crazy.
I don't know if that guy has enough
Bob
money.
Bob Nutting. Yeah, say his name. He has the money.
Okay. Well, he may be. Is he a billionaire?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If he has the money, then there you go. You ought to compete. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in the big leagues. That's the way it works. I'm all on board with it. But $123 million a year, even I, capitalism on this went, wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Does a team that spends the most always win? No. You know, there are, I wouldn't call them flukes, but there's a random nature to baseball where, you know, it's probably not necessarily they're going to win three in a row. I'd say not necessarily. Things have a way of happening here. Okay. Let me give you the side question. Over the weekend, did a lot of bidet research, not on me, not in the house, on Mondani. We swerved into this last week. Mondani wants to put at least five or more bidets into Gracie Mansion. I don't know how many toilets, how many rooms this guy's going to be in, et cetera. He called it aspirational because they have to do some stuff with the plumbing if it's legit, not some workaround bidet.
Yeah, if God forbid they just have one of the attachment bidets.
Yeah, that's right. So I was looking at this and thinking, I just Googled something, you know, culturally. Is it's not solely European. It might be like soccer. Oh, I might have to take that one off the board.
There you go.
We're looking, I'm sorry if I took yours. We're looking for things that are European. In other words, the way they live, maybe, huh?
I thought we were expanding it past that.
To what?
Just foreign to here.
Oh, okay.
Because mine isn't European.
That's all right. You can throw yours in. I'll expand it. But I was mainly centering on the European because of the bidet was on the list. When I started to Google, what are some things European? Some of them better, some of them worse. I found a couple that were good. One is there's apparently, I mean, I Googled this several different ways. No high fructose. In other words, they have cut out what we should be cutting out, that RFK Jr. is correct. So I was looking at Europe, but I'll take somewhere else. Some things that we don't do or we don't have, and you might think it's good or bad. As long as you have a strong, funny, outside-the-box, you know, kind of look at this. Taxation, that's unbelievable. They don't blanch at that. That was the biggest negative. You got to pay for all the stuff. But the bidet is big. Every place that we stayed, the two times we went with conservative tourists, they all had bidets. Almost every hotel I remember had a bidet. All right, Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, so I'm going to take you to a country that not only has bidets, but they have heated bidets.
Oh, well, there was a lot of talk about that, and they want heated toilet seats for Gracie Mansion.
Yeah.
I mean, affordability.
Yeah,
this guy needs a toilet
how
seat.
How can you rally for affordability if you're sitting down in the morning and your butt's cold?
Exactly. Then the bidet's got to be heated too. My God.
So something that this country has that we don't is Shinkansen. Otherwise known as the bullet train, which is Japan's high-speed rail network, which we do not have here in the United States, I think because big airplane is not letting us. That and the laziness of our own, government to build the correct infrastructure needed. I mean, how nice would it be if we could get to, Philadelphia to L.A. in, 2 hours? That'd be great.
Two hours?
Nice.
What are you like, Amazie Arano? At 3,000 miles.
Yeah, that's what the bullet train is for.
I was on a bullet train in Italy. I think it was maybe 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, 200 miles an hour, just going straight across?
Yeah, well, that's 15 hours at least.
I don't know.
All right, I don't think you can go more than 200. I don't know, tracks.
Why not? Don't we have the best engineers here? Don't we have the best stuff? I mean, why can't we build a faster bullet train than this?
I need somebody to tell us the levels of the bullet train here.
I'm no math
Luther
guy,
King
but...
Okay.
I want bullet trains here. I want to get to other cities as fast as I can without flying or having to drive.
All right, and Italy does have it. Several European countries. You have other countries have it too, without a doubt. All right, do you have one,
Sean? Yeah, I do. Same thing. I'm going to stay in with affordability, but this time I'm going to just say free college. I don't think that we don't have that in the USA, and as you can see, some of the other countries around the U.S. have really good colleges that have free college tuition. So, I think that would really help out.
Take a look at your paycheck. Just remember 55-58% off the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll have to look at the tax rate in Sweden. I know it's over 50.
They don't have the bottom falling out in Sweden like we do.
Yeah. All right. 855-839-1210. You can get in. All right, so we expanded it beyond Europe. I was centering in on that because of the bidet, because of Europe in the news. You can hit us with that. Martin Luther King Day, I gave you a sense of what I think should be part of this, and that is the improvement, the movement forward. Instead, these maniacs in Minnesota, I mean, imagine Woolworths. What did Martin Luther, it wasn't even King. It was other freshmen at a school near there in Greensboro. What did they do? They sat there day after day in the seats that were whites only. They were attacked. They had flour thrown on them, everything in the world. Sometimes they'd get punched. They were not attacking churches. Now, don't you think when you're attacking the church, you might not be the good guys? Do you think that might be the case, Don Lemon? 855-839-1210.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Okay, it is Dom time. 855-839-1210. You can get on board. Of course, contributing this weekend to the usual fare, Bruce Springsteen. I'm not sure where he was. Blank ice during his, quote, performance, Get Out of Minnesota. So we're not going to play that, for there's a lot of backstory with this guy.
Yeah.
But how could anyone, I was thinking of Anne-Marie if she's listening today. What's the explanation of people that are reasonable, they don't have to be even extremely conservative, can still go down this road with this guy? And I give much more credit to him than the average talk radio. I get it. Some of the things that used to be there, But my main attack is on stuff like this and just what a fraud he is on the story of Jersey, that he's completely beyond. And he's just keeps that going because it's great fodder for him. And in other entertainment news, not only do we have Bad Bunny at halftime, but we have Green Day now doing the opening part of this. I didn't have a chance to go back and see how big of a deal that is, but it might be the second biggest performance or time or, thing that people would want. And any number of their songs, American Idiot, I know there's different ways of looking at it, but it's basically they attack the media, not from the right, but from the left, and particularly Fox. And the one guy is a virulent anti-Trump guy, but he does go after Trump. So how is it? It's like Springsteen. We've arrived at a point where America's game, and this weekend I think was pretty good for the NFL as far as controversy, games that went down to the wire, overtime, big issues, stuff that was talked about, all plays into what they want, right? How in the world do we end up with the most American of games, arguably something that has captured attention more so than any sports at any time, the NFL over the last, you pick the number of years, we end up with Bad Bunny in Spanish at halftime. And Green Day. Now, you think there would be a bone throw. Oh, no, we couldn't put somebody out there. And again, I could go through it with them and say, yeah, I like them, but I don't think they have enough appeal. Okay. There's nobody in America they could put in that might try to make the argument subliminally, yeah, the NFL's trying to balance this. Nope. That's not what they're going to do because they'd be attacked for it. And it's an attack that they don't want, but they're willing to be attacked. People that don't listen to talk radio really don't know what Bad Bunny's going to be doing. And when he does that day, suddenly there's going to be outrage. But people want the NFL. That's what it's about. That's what their hold is. They could even do worse. The only thing that might make a difference, and I'm still talking to Jack Povasek about this, nothing is definitive. I can't report anything definitive yet. But there will be, and it won't be, furry animals playing catch or something. It's not going to be something like that at halftime. It's going to be a halftime that's offered as a traditional America salute, an alternative to what the NFL is putting on. But people are not exactly doing gaga. They're afraid of the NFL. I mean, CBS, NBC, slightly ABC, ESPN, connected, Fox. They're not going to be putting on anything that would challenge the NFL. Fox doesn't seem to have an appetite for it.
It's a suicide mission.
Why is that?
Because you're going up against the NFL. Who's to say the NFL, next time the Fox's, rights are up to air, yes, NFL games, they don't go, okay, the hell with you. We're going to ABC. Giving more to NBC, we're giving more to CBS.
Okay,
America
is going to roll over on this. So there's no outlet with all the outlets out there that cannot put on an alternate where it wouldn't be impossible to find it. I agree. I was stating, and each one of them has a hand in this. How in the world, though? Say we're just moving past it because it's too painful. To me, I despise this. I despise the whole language thing. I really do. You can't be American. Look, if he sang a song or two in Spanish, knock yourself out. But the halftime show, as far as I understand it, in Spanish, should not be able to be something we have to put up with, given this is America's game, given this is the biggest opportunity. And we get why they're doing it. They can. And in their calculus, it's going to help them in a lot of countries. Not only get more people to watch, but potentially to grow something there in some way, shape, or form. I get that. All right, that's their interest. They're that big. They're that much demand. There are very few things out there that can get away with something like this. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Henry, it's good to talk to you today. I hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you, Robert.
Something amazing happened this weekend involving another caller, but I'm not going to mention it until I get their permission. But you have an amazing audience, Dom. I'll leave it at that. Amazing audience. What I'm going to go with and what actually brought it to mind was my friend Sean talking about free college over in Europe.
Yep.
And what the big difference between European countries and America is the tax rate. I mean, the average tax rate over in Europe, I mean, except for the smaller countries, like some of the smaller countries like Liechtenstein, Malta, they're fairly reasonable. But the average is between 40 and 55% with the major countries, Italy, Greece, United Kingdom, France, Germany. And that's why they have, quote unquote, free health care insurance and, quote unquote, you know, free college. But that's also why their people can't generate anything because they don't have any income left over. And as a measure, let me give you this. Between 1985 and 2010, the United States generated 66 million new jobs. During that whole time, all of Europe generated one-tenth of that, 6.5 million jobs. And that's the difference between a high taxation country and a low taxation country. It's also the reason why, while the United States is the most generous government in the world, it's second in generosity to the American people. On an individual basis, the American people give more to charity than any government in the world, including our own. And that's because we have money left over after our government taxes us. And I'll leave it at that.
Beautifully put. Yeah, that is a big difference. Now, doesn't have to be Europe. It could be any place on the globe. Something they have, maybe it's better. Or like taxation, maybe it's worse. I think people are saying the bidet is better, but it's a big debate. It's going to be interesting. Will Mondani demonstrate? Not. Fully clothed, we're going to see. Here's the apparatus. Here's where we have them in here. He said it was aspirational. All right, we're going to talk with Dr. Mark Siegel coming up from Fox News Channel. Republicans, the president putting out some kind of health care plan. What does Dr. Mark think? That's coming up on Talk Radio 1210.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, boy, it would take forever to read the full resume of America's house visit doctor, a house call doctor. That's Dr. Mark Siegel here on The Dom Show. And recently, number one New York Times bestselling author, medical director, NYU Doctor Radio, Fox News senior medical analyst. In the book, The Miracles Among Us. People can't get enough of this book because it's documented hope. It's documented. And it's brilliant, the stories he's been able to call together. Let's go to Dr. Mark Siegel. Dr. Mark, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Great to be back with you, Dom. And, you know, in addition to hope, it's also the idea that people don't like the separation between science and healing, science and faith, and they want their souls and the preciousness of each human life to be acknowledged. And the book is about an accumulation. Each story is about an accumulation of miracles where the unexpected happens and repeatedly. And people can relate to that. A lot of people can relate to that. And a lot of people are coming forward with their own stories now.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's exactly what we want. Or to have someone like Mark Siegel as our doctor, then we'd feel both of those. But the healthcare system itself in turmoil again. The president's strategy, and look, I realize the insurance companies are a good target. I'm in agreement. But Dr. Mark, you are somebody who's inside all this stuff. What is it that could be done, say, in the, you know, imminently that would make a difference? Not a panacea, but what do you see that could be done?
Well, it's a patchwork healthcare system, and we've learned that during the pandemic. Certainly our major medical centers are prodigious, but there's not a consistency of care. And there's also the idea of let's overcharge all Americans on prescription drugs, knowing full well that it's not a transparent system. I mean, everyone in America knows that if you're going to go to buy a hamburger, you're not going to pay four times what you can pay down the street for the same hamburger. So everybody knows that. But in the healthcare system, all the prices are obscured. You know, the it's almost a rigged system between the insurance companies and the drug companies, where the drug companies pay something, the insurance companies match that payment. There's even a third party sucking a profit out of there, and then it gets transmitted in terms of high premiums in a sick care system, which is what we're dealing with here. And I think what Trump is trying to do is bring free market forces back into play. That's one thing. And the other thing he's saying is, you know, with his favored nation policy, why should we pay three times more than what other industrial countries are paying here?
Well, I think on the drug thing, his negotiation skills and all that and the timelines, that's working. On the other, we have the hoofbeats of the midterms coming our way, and that's my fear. Putting free market in there, Dr. Mark, yes, but you know and I know the other party's not going to go for that. It's got to be a death struggle to get to that.
Well, because the insurance companies are big lobbyists.
Yes.
And they're very powerful in Congress. And, you know, they're very hard to contend with. And they're again, profiting off of a sick care system. People don't understand that health insurance is not like other insurance, where they want to keep you from getting in a car accident, because if you get in a car accident, they have to pay. Insurance companies, in a way, profit off of us being sick and overweight and obese, because it justifies higher premiums in their case. That's what the way this system works. Now, when they created Obamacare, they tried to suck in healthy young people to pay premiums by putting in the individual mandate. Once that was gotten rid of, the whole system fell apart, and it relied on federal subsidies to prop it up, when it actually is a scam to pay the insurance companies more.
Let me ask you a question that comes from being a very impatient, pushing the envelope forward. I wonder if Dr. Mark Siegel is already culling more stories for another book, because this is so fabulous, people can't get enough of it. And each one that you deliver does the very things that we're talking about. Are you getting more as a result of the first book?
Well, I'm getting a lot of people coming forward with their miracles.
Right.
And I think I'm developing a strategy of how to put a sequel together. We will do one. It'll be a little different, but I'm getting material handed to me.
Right.
People coming forward with their miracle. I had one on the street the other day where I was out in the cold with a sign that says, "Bring me your miracles." And a woman came to me and said, "Well, two sinus surgeons were about to operate on my terrible looking sinuses. I went to my priest to pray for my health, and I heard a voice, 'Go see Scully.' And Scully is my primary care doctor," she says. I said, "Well, why'd you see him?" She said, "I wasn't going to see him. What does he have to do with sinuses?" I go to see him, and he taps on my sinuses, and he says, "You're fine." I repeat the CAT scan, and it was gone. Everything was fine. He told me to take a Benadryl at night, and I was fine. And I thought, wow, that priest had a lot of power. The voice that came to her is kind of like a, you know, that's what I'm looking at right now. Moments of direct divine intervention and conversion and angels. And there's a lot of that happens in the world that people maybe they miss because they're not looking for these signs.
I haven't heard or seen pushback. You'd have to be a real rat to, you know, to say, well, we got to take this guy into a medical tribunal. Because you're certainly a scientist par excellence. All the times I've interviewed you, you believe in that. What is wrong with a little bit of help? Are you getting, as anybody said, not so much on this stuff?
The medical community has not gone after me, and I'll tell you why. Because 70 to 75% of physicians are religious, and 70 to 75% believe in medical miracles, and 55% think they've seen them in their own practice. What people got wrong comes all the way from Spinoza in the 1600s, where it was believed or propagated the belief that God lives in nature only. But when you go to medical school and you start seeing the way the body is put together, every nerve, every sinew, every artery, every vein, you say, who the heck did this? This is magnificent. And we learned to admire and revere the human body and the way it functions from the beginning of medical school. And that lends itself to a spirituality that we lose over time as we become more jaded. And I think bringing back the hope and bringing back the honoring of the soul is a very positive thing that this book does. And I think doctors are rejoicing in it. And I'm not getting pushback. You're not hearing medical establishments saying, well, we don't like Dr. Siegel's book because we're atheists here. They're not doing that.
Well, that's good.
Most of them aren't.
Is there a queer favorite among people that they bring up again and again, or is it a couple of them, Dr. Mark? Which one do people really latch on to?
Well, that's a really hard question. Lately, it's been the Scalise story, because Majority Leader Scalise is getting a lot of attention for non-medical reasons. And I tell what I did with this book is I told each story in a nuanced way with facts that no one knew. No one knew about those two doctors in the hospital, one a radiologist, one a surgeon, who got together to repair an incredibly severed artery of Leader Scalise. No one knew exactly what happened on that ball field with Brad Wenstrup and the helicopter and getting him out of there and all the blood he lost. So all the prayer that he did, you know, he's a big believer in interception. So the Scalise story is getting a lot of attention. The stories of Montgomery, the head of surgery at NYU, is getting a lot of attention because he had out-of-body experiences. Those chapters right now are my favorites. But, you know, what's interesting about writing a book like this is that I go back and forth. You know, when it was Veterans Day, I was featuring the veteran, magnificent veteran, Dave Smith, who I rode mountain bikes with former President Bush, who nearly killed himself, but was visited by a ghost of a friend of his who talked him out of it. That every month or every week or so, I have a different one that becomes a favorite.
Absolutely. Well, continue to keep on keeping on. Dr. Mark, thank you on a holiday, as always. Thank you for the miracles among us. Can hardly wait for the sequel.
Great to be with you, Dom. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Mark Siegel here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, we'll get to your calls coming up. Today's side, something different. We started out with Europe, but other countries. The bidet is the trigger point, so to speak, here. At 855-839-1210, you can get a line. You can get on board. This is cut eight, Henry. This guy over the weekend, now this guy's very liberal, I think self-described, youtube.com/1210. You got to see how casually he's standing on his block with a heavy-duty weapon, not sure what caliber and all that, but this would take out a lot of people. And he says he's patrolling his block against ICE and others. He's watching out for his people. And what we're seeing across Minneapolis are any number of people like this that are armed and saying, no, ICE is not going to come in here. How much of this gets out of hand before the Insurrection Act? I would say not much more. Here's what he said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
You live in the neighborhood?
Yep, this is my block. This is my area. I don't go into other people's neighborhoods and try and intimidate them. I protect my people.
Are you giving out your name?
No, I'm okay with that. Our neighborhood's showing up.
You guys had a lot of people out here, right?
At least 30 or more.
Yeah.
40 or 50.
That's pretty good for a quick turnout.
All right, so this is a guy standing there with a heavy weapon on his block, intimidating. They didn't ask him unless, you know, I don't have an extensive interview with this guy. ICE. What are you going to do if ICE shows up on your block? Well, he was ready. He looks like he's ready to protect. This is what's happening in Minnesota, and it's only getting worse. It's day after day, something else like the church that grabs our attention. All right, we'll get to your calls coming up, 855-839-1210.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, time to your Dano's show. Get in, 855-839-1210. Something in other countries is coming off the bidet that either we don't have here, we downgrade, it's better or worse, whatever you say around it. And Harmy Dillon was on with Glenn Beck this morning, apparently. I'm not sure if I've seen her anywhere else. Saying all the right things. Face Act, remember that, with Mark Houck. It was a small thing that happened at an abortion clinic. Well, churches or religious facilities are listed in the very same thing. And the ringleader of this group has done stuff so loud before that they shattered the eardrum of a parishioner in Washington, D.C. when they invaded the church. And then, of course, Don Lemon as part of this. I believe they're clearly violative, just absolutely violative. And this has severe penalties. Lemon talking repeatedly over the weekend, though, that, yes, we are here to make people feel uncomfortable. He started to channel Dr. Martin Luther King, of course, try to hijack that. This is nowhere near what Dr. King did, if for no other reason that we know what would have happened in the South, let alone it would have broken with his whole inspirational message. The Bloody Sunday, where people just trying to walk across the bridge in protest, not blocking traffic or anything, and they were attacked brutally with racists on horseback, etc. It's not what's going on here. And again, this the Trump administration has to follow through and make this stuff stick. This is a very high-profile situation when you're disrupting a church ceremony on Sunday in this manner. All right, let's see. Let's go to David, Lexington, South Carolina, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, David.
Hey, Dom. I'll tell you what, you're missing a big show today. The next county over, which I call occupied Richland County, none other than Spartacus is down there for their King Day celebration.
Ah,
so we
okay.
got Spartacus down here today.
Ah, well, you know, South Carolina is the key, basically, particularly for a guy like Cory Booker, to winning the nomination.
Yep. Well, he won't win the state. I mean, he might win a primary here, but he won't win
and
the state.
It's not your congressman, I don't think, but your guy in South Carolina, who is the kingmaker, James Clyburn, mm-hmm. has just said this right. morning, Republicans are trying to bring slavery back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, Dom. You sit there and say, how can I go excessive? You know, you come up with this, yeah.
Yeah, he was my congressman for 20-something years, Dom, and I finally escaped him about 2 years ago. Now I'm in Joe Wilson territory, so much better.
Liar! But, liar!
Yeah, exactly. So my side answer today is, there's an old saying, Dom, in England or in Europe, 100 years is a short time and 100 miles is a long distance, and just the reverse here in this country, because here 100 miles is not that long of a distance, but 100 years is a long time because we're such a young country. So what Europe has that we don't have is a long history.
True. And does that cut in their favor, or are they resting on their laurels of that a little bit?
I think they do. I think they kind of say, hey, we're yes. established. We,
right.
you know, yeah. But, yeah, they have a much longer history.
Yeah. Thank you, David, very much. Joe in Columbus, Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dom. I got my whole itinerary until you upset it. You mentioned Springsteen when I first called in. And I want to tell, first of all, let me wish you a happy new year. Let me back up.
Well, thank you, Joe.
It's Martin Luther King
You're
Jr.
Welcome.
Yeah, that's,
come on.
Yeah, let's keep
You're
on
welcome.
Churning through these holidays. Soon it'll be Easter. Say happy new year first. Yes.
There you go. Dom, you mentioned Springsteen. And, you know, it's me and a group of my buddies now grown up. We're cult members and followers. We still love the guy. But the thing we loved about him, and I think you were referring, because when I was calling in, I got interrupted. You know, it interrupted what you were talking about with him. I assume you were referring to him, blankety blank ice, blankety blank.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing about Springsteen back in the day, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, early 80s, was he was clean, he was pure, he was all-American, he never was vulgar. Now, all of a sudden, to make his point, mm-hmm. he has to have a trash mouth.
But, Joe, here's the thing. Can you explain? All right, you're really a Jersey guy. I get it. There's some juice there. But the biggest problem I have with him, not so much politics. He's fraudulent on what he used to be connected to, the tank towns of New Jersey, and trying to overcome that. He's long past that. I don't get that he can speak for that anymore.
Well, Dom, he has an influence with his dad. His dad was blue collar, even though his dad mentally beat the you-know-what out of him and his mom. mentally, not physically, but mentally. Mm-hmm. His dad was very, very verbally abusive. He latched on to his dad's political beliefs and was never able to separate himself from that. And that's a shame. For a guy who could put all the right lyrics in the music, you might think he would have put the right lyrics in his own head and his own fabric. He couldn't do that.
What was, you know, this is this comes up so much, Joe, if you don't mind. What's the central? All right, let's go back when it was not fraudulent. What was the message of Springsteen throughout his musicality, et cetera? It was Jersey based. What else?
He could give you hope that you can crawl out and make something of yourself.
Okay, I would agree. I would agree with a lot of it. Yes.
Plain and simple. You could do it. I did it. And he had all the stories behind it. I never held a job. You know, he that wasn't new stuff. He said that back in the 70s. I never held a discernible job, but I had a dream, and so could you. Shame on him.
That part I admire, sleeping on people's couches here when he played at the Main Point and stuff like that, you know, because he had that dream he was going to follow it. I admire that in Eminem, the music, the moment. I admire all that, but I just think the guy has lost more than just clean-cut America and all that, Joe. I just don't think he's connected to those people again.
Sure, and when you got to drop vulgarity to make your point,
right?
That's not intellect. People say, you know, the saltier language, the more intelligent you are. No, you are not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would agree. Some people can't talk unless, if you watch Hard Knocks in the NFL, look, I get it's a brutal game. You're trying to inspire a team. I would drop the F-bomb once a meeting, maybe. But every third word, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, you know, that's not a way to charge people up. That's synthetics.
Yeah, exactly. What's your side,
Joe? My side is the reason why we are here in this country, here and now. And it was the monarchies and the kingdoms of Europe move and further through to Asia. They still exist today, including the papacy. The Vatican is a monarchy.
So you're saying they had monarchies. We did. Yeah.
Right. And that's what made us matriculate over the Atlantic here.
All right. So, Joe, I'll give you the question of the day then. To get Greenland, which I think we should buy, hopefully. How about having Baron marry the princess of Denmark? We get it, then, Joe. We get it.
I don't think Trump's a pimp.
Well, I don't know about it. Baron might like Denmark, you know, then in 6 months in, when he runs for president, then he could talk about getting his Greenland.
Introduce them and see what happens. All but right. Dom, I wouldn't even do that to my son. Don't force yourself on somebody he has to spend the rest of his life with.
All right, I got you, Joe. Just need an American. Doesn't have to be Baron as long as we get Greenland. We'll talk a little bit about Greenland coming up. And Mondani, when he's not putting bidets in, releases his universal child care ad with Ms. Rachel. Yes, who has quite a following and have a little anti-Semitic problem, among other things. All right. 855-839. A lot of information on bidets coming up here. Guys must have these and love them.
I told you, more people than you think have them.
I still think it's relatively small here. And in Europe, though, I think it's 99%, it seems like. Yeah, that's where this came from. So thanks to the bidet for inspiring this question today. AT&T and Verizon Wireless just pushed pound 1210. By the way, is this just an internet rumor? If L.A. had continued that tie last night, how many quarters do you get of a tie? If it's at the end of the quarter and it's a tie then, right?
No, they could play till you win.
Oh, okay. Well, there's an argument out there. The Eagles would be playing Seattle at a certain point. I don't think the NFL would ever do that.
What do you mean? But
if they stay tied, what's the limit? You're saying till forever.
Yeah, battle to the death.
I see some people saying that's not the case. I think it is, too. I agree with you.
They put the rules up at the beginning of the overtime. They put it up there. It's a lot of things to read. I understand if you can't read that
I thought it was, too, that you have to have a winner. The Eagles couldn't get in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine? Oh, God. Bring back Kevin Bitua. We don't have an OC. Yeah. What are we going to do?
Please.
He knows the plays. All right, 855.
What is everyone else?
800-839-1210.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.